Morning. Thank you. Before I talk about this morning's reading from John, we need a little bit of context. In the previous chapter, Jesus has healed a man blind from birth, and this has caused consternation amongst the Pharisees, the religious leaders, not least because Jesus did healing on the Sabbath. The Pharisees are already unhappy with Jesus, and this is just another example of why he is a problem. He is willing to challenge the laws that they are very keen to uphold. They don't want to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and they're looking for reasons to undermine him. Chapter 9 ends with some of the Pharisees asking Jesus if they too are blind, and he tells them that because they can see, they are guilty of sin. If they had not had the chance to see, in other words, if they had not heard Jesus speak and seen his miracles, it would be understandable for them to doubt him. But because they have seen him and they have heard his message and have chosen to ignore the evidence in front of them, then they are guilty of willful misunderstanding. So that's the context to the next section, today's reading, where Jesus moves on to talk about sheep and caring for sheep as he explains his message. For us, most of whom have very little to do with sheep, it can be hard to understand the descriptions. We see lambs in the fields and sheep on the hills, but unless we are farmers, we don't usually have very much to do with them, unless we're having to wait for them to move out of the way. But unlike us city dwellers, the people Jesus was speaking to would have been very familiar with sheep and shepherds. The shepherds in Jesus' time had small flocks and knew their sheep very well. Often, a number of shepherds would bring their flocks together to keep them safe under cover at night, and then call their own sheep to them as they set off to find pasture in the morning. The shepherds knew their own sheep, and the sheep knew the voice of their own shepherd. The sheep pen Jesus is talking about was a circular enclosure with an open doorway, and the shepherd would very often sleep in the doorway, forming a human gate to protect the sheep from predators. And this would have been a familiar sight. The sheep pen keeps the sheep together and stops them from straying, as well as protecting them, and it allows them to rest. So the idea of shepherds caring for their sheep and how they did all of that was quite understandable to this audience. Jesus is clear. He is the gate, and he is the shepherd. He cares for the sheep and protects them. And if Jesus is the shepherd, then it looks like we are the sheep. How many of you are happy to refer to yourself as a sheep? It's not an animal I would generally pick to associate myself with. Sheep are not very intelligent and are really quite helpless. They are known for wandering and for getting lost. They will walk into danger because they don't have the sense to avoid it. They need to be herded because they won't know where to go otherwise. If they fall over, they can't usually get back up again without help and will lie there with their feet in the air. Sheep cannot defend themselves and are very vulnerable. If we call somebody a sheep, we are implying that they're not very bright and they don't have ideas and thoughts of their own. It's not usually meant as a compliment. Following the herd is not something most of us like to think that we do. We value independent thought and taking responsibility for our own decisions. As an aside, there can't be a parent here who hasn't heard the phrase, "but everybody else is doing that," when you've said no to a request. And when the child argues, we often respond with, "if everybody else jumped off a cliff, would you do it?" I know I've said that. I know I've heard that. And it backfired on me when my son thought for a moment and said, "if they all did that, I wouldn't have any friends and anybody else to play with, so I might as well." There's no answer to that one. and I had to find a different argument about why we were no longer going to spend a small fortune on Match Attax football cards. So I was trying to get him to think for himself, and certainly didn't want him to follow the crowd, especially when the crowd were going somewhere I didn't want him to go. I didn't want sheep-like behaviour. I valued him being able to have his own thoughts and not be one of the mindless sheeple. So calling ourselves sheep is not always a comfortable analogy. But if we move away from the intelligence of sheep and their lack of direction and think instead about their vulnerability, then the analogy makes a bit more sense. Sheep can be attacked and hurt, and so can we. And although we can think of ourselves as strong, there are always times when we aren't so strong, and we need to remember God on our side. Living life as God wants us to is hard, and we struggle and often fail to do it on our own. As we walk in the world and live our lives, we are stronger and better with Jesus on our side. We might not want to think of ourselves as sheep, but we certainly need a shepherd. And Jesus is the good shepherd. He cares for us and looks after us. He is the gate that protects the sheep, but also the way for other sheep to join the flock. The only way to be part of the flock, to join the people of Jesus, is to go through Jesus as the gate. And Jesus is the only shepherd that people should be following. There's only one way into the sheep pen, only one way to God, and that is through Jesus. And that is where the Pharisees are struggling. They uphold the law, but they uphold it for worldly power, not necessarily for God. There is a danger when the religious focus becomes more about the people in charge than about God. Jesus refers to them as thieves and robbers because they are not going to lead the sheep the right way. They are not the gate, Jesus is, but they are trying to thwart him. Not many people relinquish power easily, and the Pharisees are no exception. So how is this relevant to us? We don't have to deal with Pharisees anymore, but in a world where there are so many messages to listen to, we need to be able to identify the voice of our shepherd. And you would have thought that would be fairly easy to do. After all, there are many who are called to act as shepherds with responsibility for their own flocks. We have our own shepherd in Ned, and I think we've got a pretty good one. He loves all his sheep and does his best to guide and care for us. There are good people here at St. Peter's. This is a cool flock to be with. We might not always agree with our shepherd, but I think there is a culture here that enables us to challenge and disagree with love, and that's a good thing. The role of the shepherd is to lead the flock, and that means to lead them the right way. In our Acts reading, Peter calls on people to repent, a word which I learned, thank you Ned, actually means to turn around and go the other way. Shepherds often need to help their flock to do this, to turn away from a bad path and go towards the right one. If you've ever watched One Man and His Dog, or Babe, you'll have seen how the shepherd calls to the dog to move the sheep where they need to go. They can't do this without help. And if we are to truly repent, to turn and go the other way, we often need similar help. So who are the thieves and robbers today? Who are the people trying to lead the sheep away and take the place of the shepherd? We can look into the world and see plenty of false shepherds, those who would call to death and destruction, those who revel in suffering and evil. And we can also pride ourselves that as a sensible flock, we would not follow them. We would not put our trust in someone who was clearly going to lead us the wrong way. But what if the thief looked a lot like a shepherd? Has anybody heard of prosperity theology? It's a branch of Protestant Christianity that believes that financial prosperity and good physical health are given by God, and that faith and donation to religious causes will bring about an increase in personal wealth. It's a significant movement, particularly in the USA, and has strong links to televangelism. You may remember Jim Bakker, who went to prison for fraud. He was a promoter of the prosperity gospel. It preaches that the rich are rich because they have been blessed by God, and the poor are poor because they have not. In other words, good things happen to you because you deserve them, and bad things happen to you because you do not deserve good things. The church leaders who preach the prosperity gospel are well known. They have huge churches, and they present themselves to the world as Christian leaders. But would Jesus preach that message? When Jesus talks about wealth and possessions, he's usually talking about giving them away, not accumulating more. It's easy to see the attraction of a version of Christianity that gives easy answers, promises financial and personal security if you do what you're told to do, and lots of people clearly subscribe to it. But are those leaders really good shepherds, or are they in fact thieves and robbers? Jesus is the gate. We join the flock through him and no one else. The thieves and robbers might present themselves as shepherds, but they're not here to give life to the sheep. If their way is not the way of Jesus, then it isn't the right way to go. We need good shepherds, and we need to be discerning and know when the road we are being led down is not the way of Jesus. Jesus says that he is here so that we might have life and live it abundantly, live it to the full. But he isn't talking about the prosperity gospel. Life lived to the full with Jesus is not about material wealth or even bodily health. Jesus is talking about life lived with God, life full of joy, peace, and love. The life Jesus brings is much, much more than a financially comfortable one. As Peter says in Acts, coming to Jesus brings the promise of salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is abundant life. Jesus didn't say that people were poor because they deserved it, that they were not as loved by God. I can't see Jesus in the prosperity gospel. And Jesus is the gate. If it isn't the message that he brought, then it isn't the message that we should be listening to. Jesus has compassion and love for the poor, for the outcasts. He's the one who searches for lost sheep and brings them home. Jesus, the shepherd, loves all the sheep and knows them all by name. He loves us all and knows us all by name. To be loved and cherished by God, to be given peace and life, those gifts cannot be given by anybody else. Jesus doesn't promise us an easy life with God, but he does promise us the love of God. How then do we know if our shepherd is a good one? We are here because we know the voice of Jesus, but our other shepherds will sound different. And that is why we need our community at times, to have each other to listen and to disagree and to work on discerning together. Our reading from Acts talks about the fellowship of a community of believers who love and nurture each other, and that is something we can all really benefit from. Sheep aren't meant to live in solitude, and as a group of believers, we are stronger together. Of course, we have to be wary of groupthink, of going down a path that is wrong because that's where everybody else is going. We don't have to be as mindless as sheep, listening and never questioning. God gave us inquiring minds, and I know he wants us to use them. Blind faith is not a good thing for anybody, least of all a community. It makes us vulnerable to wolves in sheep's clothing, shepherd's clothing even, when we stop asking questions. It's easy to drift into following the wrong shepherd. It might not always be a preacher who has a strange view of the gospel. Maybe we get blinded by a passionate and compelling argument, or overwhelmed by glamour, or even just a desire to be in the in crowd. But if the message we are listening to isn't something Jesus would say, then it's not going to be the right one. So what can we take away from all of this? It's okay to be a sheep sometimes, and hanging out with other sheep is good for us. And be aware of false shepherds. They aren't always easy to spot, and a lot of them look like real shepherds on the outside. But Jesus is our good shepherd, and will always have our best interests at heart, no matter how many times we stray.